Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to Design for Confidence with Di. My name is Di Riddell. Women 50 plus, or those who will be, work with me as a confidence mentor when they've been through a life-changing challenge or they simply wish to boost or refire their confidence. Design for Confidence with Di was chosen because I think we're designed for confidence and each of us is woven differently. We are a generation of women who've lived through massive societal changes in relationships, our family, the workforce, our community, and even consciousness. We have reinvented ourselves several times over, either by choice or by having it thrust upon us. We're seeking something new, something deeper, something beyond, and we go out and get it. In fact, we're designing and redesigning our lives with a greater sense of confidence, belief, and purpose than ever before. And I just love great conversations where life's journey is shared, not simply through words, but through the tone, the excitement, the vivacity, and the emotions that are expressed as my guests share their passion. But more in a moment. If you're in America and you wish to check in, the call number is 646-716-7979 and we welcome your questions. If you're outside North America, click on the link http://tovtr.com/9966757 and follow the link to leave a message. Or you can message me privately on Facebook. Our guest speaker today is the amazing and talented Madonna Robinson. Madonna's ideal is to dispel the myth that positive thinking alone equates to a success mindset and to share with you what a success mindset actually is and how to develop one if you don't already have one. Welcome, Madonna. It's lovely to have you here today.
Thank you, Di. It's a pleasure to be here.
Excellent. So I'm very much look forward to speaking with you shortly. And I'm sure many of our listeners are wondering the same. So listeners, stay tuned. As usual, I start off with my frequently asked question. And today, it's what do you do about your confidence when you're having a down day? I refer to it as my pick up the tip up tip. I choose one and take action. That restores my sense of being and boosts my confidence. My list has been created from things I love to do, things that bring me pleasure, and things that give me a lift. Everyone's list will be different. It may be music, going for a walk, lighting a candle, meditating, going out in the garden, visiting an art gallery, painting, having a bubble bath, coffee with a friend, whatever it is that lifts your spirit and makes you laugh. Now, I started my list after working through the book The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron many years ago. And every now and again, I see, hear, or experience something and add it to my list. It's a living, growing document. It's important that you create your list when you're in a good space. On those days, you can think of many things that will make you feel happy. And my reason for saying that is that when you're in overwhelm or things are piling on top of you, it's difficult to think clearly. On those days, you might even want to stamp your foot and say, why would I want to pick a flower or listen to stupid music? Go on, I bet you've reacted like that when someone has tried to get you out of funk at some stage of your life. Negative thoughts and actions take up an enormous amount of energy. What a waste. Wouldn't you rather use your energy for something that supports you? What you discover is that the very act of moving, of standing up and breathing more deeply, gets your blood flowing. Add to that the beauty of going into nature, hearing the birds, seeing the flowers, feeling the sunlight on your back. It changes your state despite yourself. On down days, those horror days that we all experience, your clarity is non-existent. And it is not the day to say, here I am in a funk, what will I do? However, if you have your list, you can pick it up and have many choices at your fingertips. Choose one and it could be just the thing to bring you back to lightness. Because remember, there can be joy and happiness even in the midst of drama. Because let's be honest, life is not always sunshine and rainbows. Sometimes we struggle within ourselves. Sometimes we lose our footing. Sometimes we simply need to surrender and reach out for help. And when we reach out for help, we get to see the challenge through another set of ears, another set of eyes, and we get to share another's heart. When we're reinventing ourselves, we may experience growth at lightning speed, and it's natural to struggle. It's normal to feel challenged, and it's common that past stuff that is unresolved will come up and your confidence can slip away in a moment. But if we allow that space rather than resist it, we will find that it's in these moments that we can shift and grow to our next version of our confident self. We have so much wisdom within us. Knowing how to access that and bring it forward into your life is what I do as a confidence mentor. So each program, I share a tip. If there's something that you'd like answered about confidence on the next show, email me on di@diridell.com, diridell.com. Then tune into the next show to hear your answer. But now it's time to meet our guest, Madonna. But before we delve into her incredible story, I'm going to share a little about who she is. Madonna has evolved beyond the legacy of her violent childhood and overcome an anxiety and panic disorder, depression, hypochondria, multiple addictions, severe rage and phobias, and a host of other issues by using her own methods. She has also reversed the deep sense of inferiority and low self-esteem that limited her every move and ruined every relationship. Madonna now works with solopreneurs and homemade business owners to help them develop the mindset required to become successful in their business by tapping into their true potential. She is a personal development consultant, a mindset coach, an EFT and matrix repenting practitioner, a certified life coach, an NLP master, holds certificates for in small business management, workplace training and assessment, and TESOL, as well as a VA in humanities and a diploma in education. Madonna will share her inner thoughts, her inner growth, and how she empowered herself. Her story is one of immense courage and resilience. Hi, Madonna. You do have some amazing insights to share with our listeners today, haven't you?
Well, I do, and it's because I've been through many of the things myself that I know hold people back. So it's not necessarily what I learned from books, but what I learned from personal experience, I think that's made all the difference.
Yeah, that is so true, isn't it? So let's start off by would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and your personal story?
Well, I think you've really said it all, Di. Like, it was just a whole series of really, really big challenges in childhood, which made me incredibly angry and depressed and anxious. And by the time I got into my 30s, I realised that, honestly, this was no way to live. And I'd had already a lot of broken relationships by then. And I just decided that there must be something else. And I was lucky enough to meet a woman who gave me a book or told me about a book, You Can Heal Your Life. And that was about 30 years ago. And reading that book completely changed the way I looked at life, because I realised from that book that we can have an influence on our life. And I thought up until that point we just had to put up with what we were given and make the best of it. I didn't realise that there was ways that we could use our mind to heal ourselves or to change our circumstances. And reading that book just set me on this path, which I've never actually got off, and I'm still on it, and I'm still learning, and I'm still growing. So I thank that. Well, I don't even remember the woman's name, and I don't even remember who she was, but I thank that
woman. Is it Louise Hay?
Of the book, yes, You Can Heal Your Life. But this was a woman who gave me a massage. And she seemed to know so much about what was going on for me, and I just couldn't figure out how she knew those things. Well, I do that now. Like, I can look at people and talk to them for 2 seconds and know exactly what's going on. And she knew that, and that really surprised me. And so it really changed the whole way I thought about life, to be honest. So, you know, it was amazing.
Oh, that's tremendous. Thank you. So let's start with looking at some things. So why is it that personal development is often not the answer to creating a success mindset?
Well, because personal development, although it's wonderful and it does help a lot of people, and it's a starting point for many people, and for some people it's enough. And don't get me wrong, some people can do wonderful personal development courses and be really successful because of them. But for those who for those who aren't, and I have a lot of clients come to me and say, but I've worked on this for years. I've done all these personal development programs and courses and all of this stuff, and yet I'm still not successful. What's going on? Well, what's going on is the old programming that we carry from childhood, basically. And that, they're the stories that have been embedded into us when we're young, and quite often we've actually forgotten some of these stories. We don't even know we hold them. When we go about in life with this very successful, you know, positive outlook and think that we're going to get the results, well, it doesn't work for everybody, because personal development is really just surface stuff that's generic for everybody. So if people have done that and finding that they're still not getting the results, it's time to look a little bit further within, a little bit deeper within. The evidence is all around us. Nice. If it was as easy as just doing personal development programs, everybody would be successful by now. Everyone has done personal development, and they're obviously not.
I think the biggest thing about that, like the secret is a prime example of that, isn't it?
What was that? I missed that, Di, sorry.
I said the secret is a prime example of that.
A prime example of that. Everybody raced out and tried all that and the law of attraction stuff, and all they're doing is working with their conscious mind, and the subconscious mind says, don't be ridiculous. You're not worthy. You're not that sort of person. You can't have these things. You're not good enough. And all of those other stories that are sitting below the surface that we probably have pushed down for a very long time. So that's why it's not enough for everybody. It is okay for some, like I said, but it isn't enough for others.
And I think, too, that, you know, sometimes when you start on self-development work, when you've got a problem, you think that it's going to be fixed in 5 minutes. Well, you probably spend a lifetime creating the issue, so it's not going to go away in a heartbeat.
And that's what I'm going to be talking about a little bit later, when we have to rewire and retrain the brain, because it doesn't happen overnight, and we've been led to believe that it does. You know, and look, obviously for some people that is the case, but those people are very much in a minority. The average person needs time to change things, and most of us don't put enough time in. We give up before we get to the goal, to be honest.
And I think that's almost a human trait, isn't it, to give up before you get
course.
There.
We have to actually not focus on what's going on in our life right now. We have to ignore that to some extent and focus on what we do want. And that's very difficult for the average person, because we're so used to everything being concrete, black and white, three-dimensional, that if we don't see something, we just assume that we can't have it or it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It takes a lot, it takes a fair bit of work for some of us to actually stay on track long enough to get the results that we really do want. But if we do stay on track and do the work, we will get the results.
Excellent. Yeah, that's so true. So, excuse me. So why do beliefs trump positive thinking every single time, and where they hang out?
Well, beliefs are just stories that we've accumulated. Some of them we've inherited from our parents and even grandparents, and some of them we've learned as through the experience of life as a child. And they're the stories that sit underneath the surface. And we can tell ourselves some of these stories, or we just forget they're even there. But basically they make all the difference. Look, you may never have heard of Sharon Tirabassi. Now, Sharon Tirabassi was a single mother who was on welfare, who won over $10 million in the lottery. And she spent all, you know, she spent the money on big houses, cars and everything like that. And most of us would think, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to win all this money? But the truth of the matter is this. If her subconscious beliefs were not in alignment with that win, if she had the belief that she was always going to be poor, or that she didn't deserve to have all this money, or whatever it was, somehow or other she will find a way to lose all that money. And that's exactly what happened. She's now back working, living in a rented house, and doesn't even own a car. Now, the thing about Sharon is she's not alone. That's an incredibly common experience, and you can Google it. So many lottery winners end up working they were before, and it's because of our subconscious beliefs. I actually know someone who has had that happen, who did win over $2 billion and who did end up giving away all the money and is now driving taxis. So I know someone personally who had the most positive mindset and still does that you could ever imagine. It's just not enough. We really do need to understand what do we really believe about ourselves. What's our self-image? Like, what do we really believe deep down? And sometimes we've got to go back to what we were told as a child or what we took on board as a child before we can make those changes. I know everyone says, oh, if I won $2 million or $10 million, I'd never lose it. Well, you just don't really know that because, honestly, that's why I believe Trump thoughts every single time. And if we're lucky enough to have our thoughts and our beliefs in alignment, well, we're on a winner. But if we're not, we have extra work to do, and that's the reality of it.
So does that work conversely then? Say you look at someone like, say, Donald Trump, said he was a billionaire who lost money and lost his fortune and remade it and lost and remade it.
That's
I'm just
right,
using him as an example. There's been many of them. He's just the most obvious.
Of course.
So does that mean that they've got that internal thing
that they just know how
to get back again?
That's exactly correct, because they believe that they can, and they believe that they're worth it, and they believe that they can do it. That's right.
Yeah.
So that's why a lot of people, and he is a good example, but there are many others who have been in his position, lost everything, and rebuilt it really quickly because they have a different programming than the average person. And the rest of us have to work at it to uncover what we actually believe and then change it into something a lot better. And for some of us, it can take a really long time. But we always have two choices. We can either just accept the situation as it is and settle, or we can work on improving our mindset on a daily basis, which is what I do.
And you do it amazingly well. For our listeners, I know Madonna personally, so I know that she really does. She walks her talk in the extreme. Yeah. So, okay, have we finished with that subject?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay, righto. Well, let's move on to limiting patterns. So why does working on limiting patterns and trying to change your behaviour keep us at peeling away at onion layers until we're exhausted and we just want to give up?
Well, have you ever started an exercise program or a diet and lasted about 2 weeks?
Yes.
No, that's right, and that's what actually happens. What we do, well, in terms of trying to change the behaviour, most of us get really excited. We say, right, next week I'm going to start that diet. I've bought new gym shoes. I've signed up at the gym. I'm going to be doing this and I'm going to be doing that, and I'm going to lose 10, 20 kilos, whatever. But what actually happens is in about a week, 2 weeks, whatever, the old programming starts to reassert itself. Oh, look, I don't really feel like it today. I'm a bit tired. Oh, look, it's raining. Oh, look, you know.
Yeah.
So we start excuses. And before we know it, we're back to the old habits. And that's because we have what's called neural pathways in the brain. And they always take the path of least resistance, which means if we've had this programming that we're overweight for a long time or that we love carbs or whatever, or we hate exercise, those old programs will kick back in really easily. And then we try and use our willpower to, you know, fight against them. And that rarely works. What does work is this. Priming our minds for the new diet, the new exercise program or whatever before we start to change the behaviour. Because that's low resistance, right? There's no resistance. We can change our mindset with no resistance, but if we try and stop eating carbs or force ourselves to do exercise that we hate, we very rarely win. I think about 8% of people actually live up to their New Year resolutions, and that's probably the same for any time we try and make changes. It's a very low percentage of people who've got enough willpower to pull it off. The rest of us, we just need to do the opposite. Prime our mindset first until there's very little or no resistance. That's the story with that. When it comes to working on our patterns, I see people all the time saying, oh, I've got to work on my sabotage, I've got to work on my procrastination, I've got all these fears and all of these things, and I've got to stop comparing myself to other people or whatever. Well, those things are really the symptom. They're not really the problem. Procrastination is never the problem. It's a symptom of a belief system that's out of alignment with what you want. So just continuing to work on those things is sort of pretty pointless, because I've heard people say it's like peeling onion layers. You've got to keep going back and doing it. And the reason that that's the case is because the beliefs that we have or the stories that we tell ourselves, they're actually like the roots of a tree. And so the patterns of behaviour that we engage in, they're like the branches. Mm. So we can trim those branches way back. But if those roots are still there, which are the stories, they will continue to grow. So what we need to do, instead of working on our procrastination or our sabotage or our fears or whatever, get underneath that. Find those stories that are the problem and pull those stories out and replace them with new ones. And that's a far more effective method of changing than just working on our patterns. So, you know, who wants to keep peeling onion layers? It's just time consuming and it doesn't really lead us to where we want to go. I spent years doing that side before I realised that all I was doing was going around in circles. Because as you can probably imagine, when I started my journey, I had every problem under the sun. And so I was continually working on my confidence, on this, on that, whatever, without looking at what were the beliefs that caused this in the first place. And for me, one of the beliefs was, I'm just not good enough. That was one belief. Mm. And another belief was, I can't possibly have what other people have. I wasn't born into the right tribe or the right family or whatever. They're the two main beliefs that helped me. Once I started pulling those out, all of the other stuff just collapsed. So if you pull your roots out, the whole tree's going to die, isn't it? So that's why it's really important to find those stories. And the thing is about them, although that might seem terribly complicated, it's not. You know, there's only really a few core beliefs, and they're all about, half of them start with I am, oh, I don't deserve, or I'm not good enough, or whatever, I'm not smart enough, educated enough, talented enough. And the other part is about life. Like, what do you feel about life? What do you believe to be true about life? Is life difficult? If life's difficult, it doesn't matter what you do, it's always going to be difficult. So we need to change those core stories. And that takes a lot less time than trying to change all those patterns that we've got. Because most of us develop dozens and dozens of patterns that are never limiting. And I know, I used to write lists of them all the time, so I was exhausted. And now I just go straight for the story. When I work with people, or if I work with myself, think, okay, what's going on here? What's the story I'm telling myself around this? I find the story, change it, and you get results a lot faster.
Okay, so how do you suggest that people find their story? So they can be so tied up in their confidence and their negativity that they would probably find it very difficult to find their story.
Yeah, that's possibly true, but it's really mainly because we haven't really focused on it for long enough. Like I said, there's not very many stories, right? There are not very many core stories that we tell ourselves. So think back to childhood. What did people say to you? Like, you know, were you told that you weren't as good as your brother at school? Were you told that you weren't smart enough? Were you told those things? Or I feel for some people, they just say, well, no one really told me that, but I felt that. And so chances are, if you felt that when you're a child, it's still sitting in your subconscious beliefs. There's not that many stories. Yeah, there's not that many stories, Di. There really isn't.
Mm.
They're always about ourselves or about the way we view life. That's basically it. But they're responsible for all the patterns and they're responsible for our results. And if we can pull those out, we're going to end up in a really good place.
Mm. Right, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it did, but is there a technique or something that someone can do to find what their core story is that's causing their problem?
Well, there's a couple of things we can do. Generally speaking, if we really give it enough thought, we probably do know. Even though they may sit under the radar to some extent, you know, we generally sort of have an inkling of what they are. What I do with my clients is that when we have an inkling of what it might be, I muscle test them. So I just think everyone should learn muscle testing, self-muscle testing, because that gives you that. Because I spent a lot of time years ago working on things that weren't really the problem and then wondering why they didn't get results. Now,
that's why I asked the question.
Yes, if you learn to do self-muscle testing, which is pretty easy to do, you can go on to YouTube and find a few videos and just keep on practicing. You know exactly what's going on for you, right? So that's one way of doing it. But I guess in the beginning, you just sort of intuit it. You just sort of have a feeling and you say, well, I wonder, do I believe that? And you could muscle test it. That's how you find it, really. Because it is really important to know, I think, what those beliefs are.
Yeah, and with muscle testing,
it comes blind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With muscle testing, it can come down to the question that you ask yourself. So you can lead yourself up a wrong path, can't you?
You definitely can, because if you can't ask any questions around should I do this or should I do that, it's all about do I have this belief? When you're looking at just beliefs, do I have a belief that says I'm not good enough? Do I have a belief that says I'm not smart enough? Do I have a belief that says I'll always fail, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the clues are there. If we look hard enough, the clues are always there. They're not something usually completely random that we would never have actually thought of ourselves. They are something that we probably feel, but we actually push out of conscious awareness all the time.
Yeah. Yes.
And so it's about becoming a little bit more mindful of that and then, you know, testing it. But anyone can learn muscle testing, you know, just for the simple stuff. That's basically,
Well,
you can get a friend to test you, and especially someone who knows what they're doing, right? It's not, look, I teach people over the phone in a few minutes how to do it, honestly. So it's not complicated.
No. Yeah, I just think it comes back to the questions that you ask yourself.
Always.
Yeah.
But if you're just searching for beliefs, it's pretty straightforward. Do I have this belief or do I have that belief? Yeah, it's pretty straightforward if you're just looking for beliefs. Like if you want to get more involved in the whole idea of muscle testing and asking more complicated stuff and learning, you can do that. But just to find the core beliefs is not that complicated, Di.
Okay. This might be a good time to pop this question in. So what part do you think confidence plays in all of this?
Well, you see, the way I look at confidence is confidence can be learned, right? You can have really high confidence but still have low self-esteem because we can learn to have confidence. It's an important trait. It's an important thing to have because if we can have confidence, we can go out and we can present ourselves and we can do what it takes. It doesn't necessarily mean we've got high self-esteem. It doesn't necessarily mean we're always going to get the results that we want either.
So it's more of a self-esteem issue than a confidence issue. So self-esteem comes from within. Yeah.
I think so, yes. I mean, look, put it this way. You know, faking it till you make it with confidence is a great idea, I think. You know, because you can build on that. And sometimes if you get enough confidence in yourself, you can start to chip away at that self-esteem. Right, there's a lot of different ways to change our mindset. It isn't just one way. So you can go to it through the confidence route if you want. Yes, if you've got enough confidence that you can pull something off, if you can get up and do a speech in public, if you can organise a workshop and do certain things, very soon those old ideas that you're not good enough are just going to fall away, aren't they?
Yeah, that's true.
So there's a lot of different ways to get to the same thing, to be honest. And, you know, the confidence
route
is one of them.
Yeah, the self-esteem thing, I was speaking to another friend of mine and she was the world's first joyologist and she did some work with Hatch Adams and he's going to be the patron of a new laughter channel that she's putting up. And she was speaking to him recently and asked him what was his secret to staying out there in the world and being successful for over 50 years. And he said, my mother taught me self-esteem.
Yes.
What a powerful statement.
Absolutely. And if we could all do that, it would be great, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it? But everyone doesn't have a mum who gives them self-esteem.
No, and in fact, a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't. So, yeah, we have to learn it for ourselves.
Yeah. And I think that it's a really big thing, that it really is it is an inner job.
Yeah. Absolutely, it isn't a job. And, you know, you see people around who really, they haven't really got much skill or much talent, but they've got a belief in themselves that's really strong, and that's all that matters. Mm.
That's right.
That's all that matters. And then you see other people, you see other people who've got amazing talent and whatever, but they don't have the belief in their self-esteem, and they don't really get anywhere in life.
Mm.
You see it all the time. You see it in the entertainment business, for example. You can go down to sometimes a local club and see someone who's the most amazing singer and they're getting paid like $200 a night, you know, and they can sing, you know, they've got fantastic voices and really good entertainers, but they don't have that strong self-esteem and belief in themselves just, and that's part of their mindset.
That's right. That's definitely right. Okay, now we just hold that thought for a moment. We just have to pop off and have a little ad, Madonna.
Sure.
So a reminder to anyone So a reminder to anyone who may have just tuned in and started to listen. If you'd like to pose in and call on a question today, the call from America is 646-716-7979. If you're outside of North America, you can call in on http://tobtr.com/9966756. Follow the link and pop in your question, or you can PM me on Facebook. And as a reminder, if you have just tuned in, we're speaking with Madonna Robinson today. Madonna is sharing her ideals to dispel the myth that positive thinking alone equates to success mindset, and to share with you what a success mindset actually is, how you develop one if you don't already have it. Hi, and here we are back again, Madonna.
Okay.
Righto. Well, let's move on now to core beliefs. So how do you find core beliefs that make up the old programming, and how are you going to change them?
Well, that's just what we're talking about a few minutes ago, really. Like, there's not that many core beliefs. Right, so like we have lots of beliefs about the world. You know, we can believe that, you know, multi-level marketing is not a good idea, or, you know, we can believe that, you know, we shouldn't be doing this or we shouldn't be doing that. But the core beliefs are what really matters, because they dictate our results, and they're always something about ourselves or how we view the world in terms of success. And there's not that many of them. And like I said, you basically just become mindful of what were you told when you were a child, or what did you actually feel when you were at school? Did you feel that you weren't as good as everybody else? Did you feel that you weren't enough? Did you feel like you had to work really, really hard to be successful? Or were you told that by your parents? Now, if you were told something like you've got to work really, really hard to be successful, well, everything you do is going to be a lot harder than most people. But when you change that belief, it becomes easier, because we actually do create the results that we get through what we believe to be true. If people took that a lot more seriously, I know we all pay lip service to it, but if we took that a lot more seriously, we would have a lot better life than what we do. We'd get a lot better results, because it's actually what we believe to be true that creates our results.
Right. So now a lot of what you're saying is, and it's come up several times while you've been speaking, has been about repetition. So let's talk now about the importance of repetition in rewiring your brain. Or let's talk about rewiring your brain first.
Okay. Well, what that means is, like, as I said earlier, if you go on a diet or an exercise program, we have neural pathways in the brain, and they're just because we've had similar thoughts most of our lives, we just have pathways, and it's just the path of least resistance for the way the brain works. When it comes to food or choices, or whether we like people or whether we don't, we all have these neural pathways. And every time we have that thought and our brain goes down that neural pathway, it makes that deeper. That it's almost like a rut, like a path that's had a rut. That's why we find change hard. If we understand that concept, we can then also realise that every time we ignore that thought, refute it, or look to change it, we start to smooth that pathway out. And every time we bring in a new idea, which is the opposite, we create a new neural pathway. So that's what retraining the brain is. But like we said earlier, that does not happen overnight. You know, that depending on how long you've had the belief, and also depending on how much experience you've had of it. So, for example, if you believe all your life that you weren't good enough, and life has shown you that over and over again, that's not going to change probably even in a month. That might take 3 months. It might even take 6 months. You know, if you believe, for example, that, you know, all men are out to rip you off, or all people, you know, people are dodgy and whatever, you actually meet those people in life. So they turn up. But if you start to change those beliefs, different people show up. You can see it very quickly in the results, right? But it's constant repetition is the key to it. And, like, you know, people like now Joe Dispenza, they're proving that. Like, I've believed this for a very long time, but I didn't really have the proof. I didn't really have the evidence I just had my own anecdotal experience, I guess, of myself and clients.
Yeah.
But people like Joe Dispenza have actually done the research, and they've got the science to back this up. And Proctor, he does the same thing. He talks about the repetition. It's the repetition of the idea that changes those neural pathways that eventually changes the results. So I say to people, at least, depending on the belief, at least 21 days. But give it even more if you've got a lot of experience. If you've been treated badly all your life, it's going to take longer than 21 days to change that belief.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, and I know.
You've got personal experience.
From personal experience, yes.
And you've also got like a lot of emotional attachment to that belief. So, you know, put it this way. And people, it takes as long as it takes, right, basically.
Yeah.
It all depends on how keen you are to change your results and get better results. If you're willing to do what I've done, and that's my belief was from the very beginning, I'm going to change everything in my life. And I've never
stopped. And you have.
Because I straight away knew that I could. No, I straight away believed that I could. And I also started to believe that, well, if other people can do this, then so can I.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've all got the same potential and we've all got the same abilities. We can all do it. And it's really just a question of becoming mindful and deciding. We can just decide. We set an intention. Honestly, I haven't had the best results now, but I'm going to make sure I get them. And I'm going to stick at this until I do get them. And all of the things that we tell ourselves, they're just stories. There's no such thing as not being good enough. Every single person on the planet has the ability to be successful in the area that they choose. Everyone.
Mm.
You know, like I may not want to climb Mount Everest, so, you know, but I can be successful in the area that I'm drawn to. And that's what I tell all my clients, because it's the truth. There's no such thing as not being good enough. Or not deserving enough, or all of those stories, or that life's hard, because you can look around and you can see for other people life's easy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It is. Right. So why can't you have the easy life? Well, you can as soon as you change your belief about it.
Mm. And you see some people who are just drowned in drama. There's always huge drama.
Well,
and if they don't have it, they seem to create it.
They definitely. Well, I used to do that, Di. I realised that I was creating all this drama in my life because it was exciting. It was like an addiction, right?
Yeah.
I would fuck myself with
it. Yeah, that's how I see it.
I can remember doing that. And then I just decided when I started mixing with people who didn't have all that drama, I think I want that. And then I just started changing the way I viewed that. And honestly, the drama just fell away.
Mm.
I just don't have drama anymore. It's just hardly, it's not part of my life in anything, you know? We can do this with everything. We can do it with, you know, some people have all these problems, like their fridge breaks down, the car breaks down, this happens, one thing after another. That is a choice as well. You know, that's just stuff that we create. We don't have to have life or accidents. You know, we don't have to have that going on all the time. And I think, you know, quantum physics is now finding out that just about everything that happens, we've created it.
Yeah, and
that will be
it's a very sobering thought.
Well, but it's also very empowering, Di.
It is, yeah. And after
like
your suggestion,
instead of just thinking we're a victim of circumstance, well, we're not. We can we actually create, and in 20 or 30 years, that knowledge will be mainstream, I think, that we really do create the situations that happen to us in life. Because as soon as something happens to me now that I don't like, straight away my first thought is, how did I create that? Right? And the more often
that's
you do
really
that, the less likely you are to create it. Because I don't want to have accidents or dramas or problems. So we have much more power over the results in our life than what we've been led to believe from our upbringing. We can change just about everything.
Yeah, and I think... just speaking from my, my own life, you know, my dramas in early life all just got pushed under the carpet when I married, and it was the death of my husband when they bubbled up as I dealt with my grief, and that's, you know, that's a prime example, and I've seen it happen with so many other people.
Of course.
I'm not Robinson Crusoe, but, you know, we squash things down and get on with life and I honestly wasn't even aware that they were still sitting there bothering me. But holy cow, when the shit hit the fan, it did it big time.
It absolutely. And that's exactly what happens. And it happened to me. You know, all the stuff that I'd pushed down over the years, the only way I could survive was to do that. And then later on, everything started falling apart all at once. And it was like, my God, how do I get myself out of this? Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, you know, so it's a long process. I think it's really good advice for our listeners and for anyone else out there.
But it does once again come back to the childhood. You know, it comes back to the early experiences. And not everyone has had our challenges die. You know, there are people, who sit somewhere in the middle who still have limiting beliefs but who haven't had all the dramas and challenges that our childhood and early life presented. So for them, it doesn't necessarily take a long time. They can just decide, look, I've got these limiting beliefs. I'm going to shift them. I'm going to shift them and I'm going to start creating the life that I want.
Life is just so interesting, isn't it?
Oh, it's just, look, I think it just gets better and better, like all the time, because we know more, we learn more, we've got so much at our disposal now in terms of knowledge and technology that, you know, we didn't have before. We can find information, drop a hat, we can find people who can help us to move forward easily. I mean,
And you wrote about the book of Joe Dispenza, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. Like you say, now he's proving scientifically how things are working.
Absolutely.
It's
how
amazing. How it works,
And I'm reading that book.
Are you?
And every time I read it, every time I read it, I learn something more. Yes. The first time I read it, I didn't even like it, I just thought, that's pretty ordinary. And then I went back to it, and the second and third time I'm like, wow, he really does get this, you know? Mm-hmm. And, he's giving – because it's the sort of stuff that I've been teaching and working with people for a long while, but I didn't really have the evidence for it and I didn't really have the science. And now I do. Mm-hmm. You know, it seemed more like what I was talking about was like, you know, we create our own results, manifesting, and it just seemed a tad woo-woo. He doesn't use any of those words, but that's really what he's talking about, you know?
Yeah.
But he's very smart. He's very clever in what he does. And that's a great book. And I just read the You Are the Placebo after that. And that's about it's similar, except this is in the area of health. And it's just mind-boggling. You know, once again, I've been knowing that, you know, you can heal yourself through your body for years. But I didn't know the science. And now I do. And that's a great book for anyone who has chronic illness or any sort of illness, yes.
That might be my next book read because I'm just about to start the Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself again, but I haven't got the placebo one.
No, well, it is good, particularly for anyone who does have health issues. Well, it's about health issues, obviously. But it's a wonderful book, yes.
Excellent. Okay, so just coming back now to the rewire your brain thing, because that really is, that just describes you in three words. Would you like to talk about your Facebook page? Because it's just an incredible page. You have an amazing group there and you put so much time and effort into the group. Would you like to talk about that?
Yes, it's called Rewiring Your Brain for Success. I haven't been getting a lot of engagement lately. I know people are still watching. I think perhaps that, and someone's told me this before, that because I do have theme days, people are a little bit unsure, but, you know, we all know so much about mindset. We all know a lot more than what we think. Monday is just mindset, so that can be anything to do with mindset. Tuesday is empty your shit bucket because we've got to clear out the old programming first before we can actually put something new in. And the analogy I use for that is, you know, you don't paint over dirty walls. You've got to prime your walls first. You've got to chip off the old paint and clean them. And that's what we need to do with our minds before we start trying to get new results with new ideas and new beliefs. Mm. Like, you can't go from believing that you're not good enough to saying all the time you're good enough unless you start to clear out the story that you told yourself in the beginning. So then Wednesday's about evolve and grow. Well, that's what we're all here for. That's what the whole purpose of life is, I think, to evolve and grow. Thursday's about being limitless. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, being Richard Branson or Oprah or anything like that. It just means in the area that you choose to work in or in the life that you're leading, don't set limits for yourself. Continue to believe that you can expand those because we can do that. And then Friday is Rewire Day. I love Friday because to me, I know it's the repetition. It's the constant repetition. And that's how we got our beliefs in the first place, by the way. We repeatedly were told we weren't good enough, or that we weren't enough, or that we couldn't
have
to.
That's true.
It was the repetition in the beginning that created the problem. Because you don't just hear an idea once and think, oh, well, I must be not good enough. You're constantly faced with that. So that's why I love the Rewiring Day, because it looks at that. And then how we change it. We let go of that old story over and over again, and we put in a new story. And the Saturdays and Sundays are basically giving people a rest. It's more about show and tell, and it's about a bit of success and stuff like that. But I'd love people to spend more time getting involved in the theme days, because that's how you learn for a start. There's only about, well, I think there's about 700 people in the group. But, you know, it is absolutely my passion, Di.
It shows.
Because
how much time do you spend researching?
Quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Because you're always coming up, you know, you're always finding things. Where did you find all this?
Yes, because I mean, see, it's my area of interest. Because I know if you've got limiting beliefs, I know that what happens in your life. And I know that when you have positive, affirmative beliefs, I know what happens. I know the difference in results. I've seen it with my own eyes, it's been in my own life, and I see it with many people that I work with and people around me, even family members. You know, like it makes a huge difference. But we've just been given slightly, not wrong information, but only part of the story. We do have to go a little bit deeper. We do have to go a bit deeper. But if we're willing to do that.
I think part of the story thing was the secret bit, wasn't it? That was
absolutely
the secret. You know, it just went part of the way.
It only talked about consciously focusing on stuff, and that's not enough for probably about 90% of the population.
Yeah.
You've got to get that subconscious belief pulled out and new ones put in, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people don't really want to do that, Di. That's the thing. You've got to decide if it's important enough to you. And for me, it was very important. Once I got that idea from that woman in that book, honest to God, I just thought, this is fantastic. How long has this been going on? You know? And honestly, I was never stopped searching and improving ever since that 30 years ago, that first book.
Mm. Right. Well, would you like, you know, you've made this massive change in your life recently. Would you like to share what you're actually doing?
Well, I would die. Like, I'm 63, so normally at that age we're winding down, we're thinking about retirement, we're looking at security, and I've done the exact opposite. Because after reading that book, Rewire Your Brain for Success, I realised that in many, many ways I was in a rut. In many ways I wasn't living life to the fullest, and I was basically bored with what I was doing or not doing. So I basically decided I made a decision in one day. But 3 weeks later, I was going to leave my premises, sell everything, and do house sitting.
Just so
I could have different experience. Yeah, 3 weeks, basically. Mm-hmm. So the next week I was going to I couldn't do much the next weekend because I was going to a course. The following weekend I had a garage sale, and I had 1 week left then to get rid of everything and move out. I have to say it's taken its toll a little bit. But in terms of revitalising me, it certainly has done that. I've given away or sold 95% of my possessions.
Goodness
95%.
Wow.
Of everything, clothes as well, everything in the kitchen, everything, all the furniture. I've got a couple of small pieces of furniture, and I think my son took my collection of masks and couldn't bear for me to give them away. But basically, you know, I'm learning to live with a lot less. And it takes a very strong mindset to do that, because I think as we get older, we do get more set in our ways. And I didn't want that to happen.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to be dribbling in a nursing home when I'm 75 or 85, and it's not going to happen. I'm going to keep using my mindset to grow and change. Yeah.
Well, you're a prime example of it. I mean, not too many people would be able to do that. It blew my mind. I interviewed a lady a couple of months ago. She reduced her wardrobe to 50 things for a year, and she documented it every day. She started a Facebook page and took a photo and documented it every day. So, you know, I'm thinking of the parallel of that, and I thought that was a big move, but she still had all of her home and, you know, all her other bits.
She
made a massive, incredible change.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I can't help but watch you in awe.
Well, you know, I think one day last week I woke up in somebody else's house, and I thought, and I was feeling quite negative, and I thought, what the hell am I doing? Why, you know, why am I in someone else's house? And where's all my stuff? And I felt quite negative, and I thought, oh, this is not good. So you know that I use a technique called tapping, EFT tapping, and honestly, within 3 minutes, I was back to normal. I had reframed that belief. You know, I sort of woke up with it. It was a feeling that I had upon me as I woke. And within 3 minutes, I'm like, this is what I chose to do. And this is the reason I chose it. And, you know, everything was fine and has been fine since. So I make sure that I do not indulge my negative mindset when it does appear, because like everybody, it will show its ugly face. I don't engage it. And I use tapping because for me, it's the easiest way to change my perspective really quickly.
Okay. Now we haven't talked about tapping.
No, we haven't, and I didn't bring it in because it's another whole, you know, episode really. But it's just one of the people can go and Google it and learn about it.
Just give us an overview of it. We're starting to run out of time.
Well, basically what it is, like if you've heard of acupuncture places needles in the energy meridians in our body, and it affects some changes, usually in our health or sometimes our mindset. With tapping, we can tap on those same points on our upper body with a problem, with something that we are not happy with, and within minutes, just by saying what you're not happy with, within minutes, that can change. And then I always add something in the positive, like, I love house sitting. I'm glad I'm doing this. This is going to change my whole entire life. And so I bring in something positive. But the tapping, and I'm not even really sure why, even I've been doing it for 17 years, it changes the neural pathways in the brain, like we talked about earlier. It starts to break down the old neural pathways and create new ones. Now, this was just a momentary thing, but you can also use tapping to change those beliefs. That's what I did when I realised I had the belief about not being good enough. I probably tapped on that for about 3 weeks, and I realised that it was a complete story and I was never going to buy into any part of it ever again. So tapping just makes those changes easier. That's what I would say, definitely. Yes.
If any of our listeners wanted to look into it or to Google it, what would they look up?
Well, they can look up. Well, basically, it's best to look up. Just say you've got a problem first, because there's so many entries about tapping or EFT. Look at something that you're currently facing, right? And put that in as well. So tapping, EFT, and then procrastination, or then, you know, success, or you know, a health issue, whatever. And you'll get more specific information. But you know, anyone, I'm quite happy to work with anyone who just wants to have one session on maybe tapping to see what it can do for them. I love doing that. I love introducing people to these ideas, because sometimes that's just all they need. They can go off and running with their own stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone should have these sort of tools like muscle testing and tapping in their little kit, because they both make life so much easier. So much easier.
Right. Yeah, they do indeed. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Now, we're getting towards the end of the interview, so I'm going to ask you your final question, which is, what gem would you like to leave the listeners with today?
Okay. I guess, and it sums up the whole thing of what we've been talking about, if you're getting results with positive thinking and you're happy with that, stick with it. If you've got positive thinking going on and you're not getting the results, look deeper. Go below. Find your stories, and through repetition, change them. That's what will change your life, okay? People will say, if you just keep on doing the same thing, you'll eventually get there. Not if you've got limiting beliefs, you won't. It's not possible. I can look at dozens and dozens of people around me who are so positive about these things going to happen, and I know their limiting beliefs, and I can see that they're never going to get what they want, but they just don't get that fact. Because they've been told that if you stick with that positive thinking long enough, it will come true. And that's not really true for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep, that's so true.
So stick with it. Now, go to someone and get them to help, get some help with that. Right?
Mm. Because we're getting to contact them.
Help you look for... Yeah.
We're getting to contacts in a minute. Now, before we go, because that's exactly what's coming up next. Now, where can people go if they want to find you?
Well, some people can friend me on Facebook. I'm always open to friend requests for a start. Mm-hmm. They can go to my group, Rewire Your Brain for Success, or they can
That's
go to my website.
Group.
That's the mm-hmm. Facebook group. Or they can go to my website, which is madonnarobinson.com.
Okay, would you like to spell that out for it?
Yes.
Just spell it out for listeners.
Yes. MadonnaNA Robinson, RobinsonR.com. And you'll find some information there and a contact page if you want to send me an email. But yeah, they're the three ways. I'm always open to friendship requests.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. And I believe you've got a free e-book called The 5-Minute Miracle. Is that correct?
I have, yeah, and it teaches all about tapping and what the benefits are and how you do it. It's a basic book because I made tapping, because when you go onto YouTube, you'll see that tapping can seem quite complex. And after I've done it for a number of years, I realised that I've made it as simple as possible so that the average person can use it with ease. And that book, The 5-Minute Miracle, is about that. It's about how you can change things very, very quickly in the simplest way possible. So, yes,
okay.
I encourage
and
people to sign up for that.
How can people get hold of that?
Well, that's on my website. They'll see it
on your website.
Page.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, Madonna. Well, thank you so much. I've so enjoyed speaking with you today. You've shared extensive knowledge.
Oh, look, I could talk about this all day.
I know.
Yeah.
It's just been wonderful.
All right.
And I always round off with a quote. And I choose my quotes. For our listeners, I choose my quotes to what I think is suitable for my my guest for the day.
Oh, lovely.
So
lovely.
Today I've chosen one of Joe Dispenza's quotes from Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. And this epitomises Madonna. Your thoughts are incredibly powerful. Choose yours wisely.
Absolutely.
So, Madonna, thank you very much for being with me.
Well, thank you,
Di.
It was wonderful.
That's great. So to sign off, this is Di Riddell from Designed for Confidence with Di. If confidence and how it works sparked your interest, if you enjoy participating and supporting yourself and others, and you're open to different ways to look at life, then my confidence community could be for you. Just think for a moment about what a lack of confidence has cost you personally and professionally. What opportunities have you let pass by? You may like to join me on my 21-day online confidence challenge because I found that confidence creates vibrancy, aliveness, fun, and it's a surefire pickup for when things go awry. You can contact me on email on di@diriddell.com, on diriddell.com as an website, or on Facebook on Confidence Beyond 50. It was absolutely wonderful being your host for today. Cheerio, and do tune in to the next Design for Confidence with Di show 2 weeks today on Friday at 11 a.m. So, folks, bye for now. Keep your confidence up and really do check out Madonna Robinson and her Rewire Your Brain. Cheerio.
Bye.
I can do anything, I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want, I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.